Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of why the unions failed in Wisconsin, with one-third of union voters supporting Governor Walker, along with nearly half of voters from union households. Les Leopold, the director of the Labor Institute and a strategic consultant to the Blue-Green Alliance of Trade Unions and Environmental Organizations, joins us to discuss why a lot of working Americans do not support labor at a time of high unemployment and record disparity in wealth and opportunity in America. Then we'll examine the impact of Citizens United on the Wisconsin vote with a nationally recognized expert on election law and campaign finance regulation. Richard Hassan, the Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at the University of California, Irvine, joins us to discuss the unfettered flow of outside money into Wisconsin and the disparity between the financial clout of corporations and unions. Then finally, we will speak with the filmmaker of a new documentary feature, Heist, Who Stole the American Dream? Francis Causey, an investigative journalist turned citizen activist, was a producer and news editor at CNN, and since 2006 has been making her latest film that goes beyond documentaries such as Inside Job and Too Big to Fail in providing a long view of what led up to the financial crisis and capture of our economy and politics by the 1%. Joining us now is Les Leopold, who co-founded and directs two nonprofit educational organizations, the Labor Institute and the Public Health Institute. He designs research and educational programs on occupational safety and health, the environment, and economics. He also serves as a strategic consultant to the Blue-Green Alliance, which brings together trade unions and environmental organizations. Leopold is the author of The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to Background Briefing, Les Leopold.
Thank you for having me.
So, Les, what's your analysis here of what happened in Wisconsin, given that one-third of union members voted for Scott Walker and one-half of union households voted for him?
Well, I think all of us are don't quite recall that about two-thirds is what the Democrats usually get of trade union members in any election. About one-third of trade union members are Republicans. That's just the way it is. So that's not particularly a shocking result.
So what is, though, then the reason for this failure? I mean, a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks are saying that they picked the wrong fight.
Well, I'm reluctant to, trash the kind of valiant effort that's gone on there to try to protect the downward slide of wages and working conditions throughout the for all the working people in Wisconsin. But I think the fundamental problem is the frame that's used to have these fights. The trade union movement can't just be about protecting its own members. It has to be about protecting and enhancing all working people, all the 99%. And that's a difficult thing to do, but it starts with recognizing that the real issue is not that public workers have benefits that are too high or wages are too high. It's the fact that the rest of the state of Wisconsin and across the country, that workers don't have decent wages and don't have pensions. That's the real issue. That's what we need to fight for. And secondly, the reason that there are these budget crunches is a direct result of the Wall Street crash, the reckless gambling that took place, the way that finance is ripping off the rest of the country. And the frame has to be an anti-finance, anti-Wall Street framework. That's what unites the 99%. That's what Occupy Wall Street taught us all. And we have to remember that it was Occupy Wall Street, not Occupy Walmart or some other bad issue. And the American people understand deeply, on some deep level, that they're being had by the folks that they bailed out. Think about this. The people that crashed the economy, the people that basically created all this excess unemployment, the people that are causing the fiscal crisis, they're asking that we sacrifice now to pay back debts that they created. while they get their massive bonuses and walk off scot-free. You know, this is outrageous, and it has to be put in those terms again and again and again. Unfortunately, not enough of that happened in Wisconsin, and not enough of that is going to happen, I'm afraid, in November in the general election.
But Leopold, does this go back to the fact that the outrage on Wall Street, which after just at the time that Obama came into office, the outrage on Wall Street was essentially captured by the Tea Party. They were spawned out of that outrage. The left and the Democrats were asleep at the switch, you know, putting through cap and trade and extraneous bills like that at the time when the economy was in free fall. What explains this lag in the narrative where today the Republicans have a narrative and the Democrats don't?
Well, actually, you're making an excellent point. What happened, I believe this is what happened. The progressive movement over the last 30 years has been issue-oriented. A silo gets constructed, and this is my issue. Gays, minorities, environment, labor, everybody's got their set of issues inside their silo. Along comes the biggest crash since 1929. And people say, okay, we're going to go out there and get Obama elected and Democrats elected. And then everybody went back to their silos. Meanwhile, there's an extra 20 million people who don't have jobs or are underemployed. And someone has to speak in behalf of them and to them. Instead, everybody from the Obama administration on down pursued their own issue. Obama went after health care. You know, cap and trade, as you mentioned, came from the environmental community. Meanwhile, there are all these people who are unemployed, and the Tea Party picked up that anger and that frustration. Jamie Galbraith, I think, said this, and I keep stealing his line. The problem with the Democrats is you cannot be a party both of the predators and the prey. You can't try to appeal to Wall Street and deal with Main Street at the same time. You have to make a choice. And if the Democratic Party doesn't make a choice by November, they're likely to lose. Obama's likely to lose because he's not clearly enough taking on Wall Street and addressing the unemployment problem. It's a tragedy in the making.
So, Les Leopold, again, I'm speaking with Les Leopold, who is the co-founder and director of two nonprofits, the Labor Institute and the Public Health Institute, and he designs research and educational programs on occupational safety and health, the environment, and economics, and also serves as a strategic consultant to the Blue-Green Alliance, which brings together trade unions and environmental organizations. He's the author of The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. So we have this dynamic in place here that's been very successful, and by the way, it's pretty difficult to escape the triumphalism of a lot of Republicans. I mean, I think that Scott Walker is obviously going to become something of a Republican star. Already we learn that Mitt Romney now is out raising Obama in money. That was always considered Obama's best asset, was his ability to raise money. Well, he doesn't even have that anymore. But the dynamic is in place, and that's what the divide and conquer strategy of Scott Walker's was, that to divide public sectors and private sector workers against it, to divide urban middle class against rural poor, sending out the canard that you're paying for the pensions of these other state workers, and you don't have pensions. And as you mentioned earlier, the narrative should be about raising all boats, and that we all should have pensions, we all should have good jobs. But how do you reverse this narrative of having people fight over the crumbs instead of uniting around the idea and demanding living wages and better conditions?
Well, I think my simple narrative to oppose the Republican narrative is this. Wall Street should pay for the damage it has done. Wall Street should pay to put America back to work. Period. The end. That should be our narrative. The Democrats that have the courage to do that, and there are some, will succeed. Those that don't are going to fall, because the other side's narrative is much stronger. But I think the anti-Wall Street narrative also is strong. Look, think about this. This ragtag group of people called Occupy Wall Street created an international sensation. And what did they have? They had three things, and only three things. They had creative tactics, very visual, I'll grant them that. But they had a strong framework, the 1%, 99%, and it really caught on. It really took off. And they went after Wall Street. It was a direct attack at Wall Street. It seems to me that the rest of us, the rest of the progressive movement and the Democratic Party, ought to learn from this, which is that if you want to mobilize the 99%, you have to go after the culprits that took the economy down. I don't think any other narrative stands a chance. It'll all be muddled. As you pointed out, what the polls are showing is that the population can't repeat a Democratic Party narrative, but they could precisely tell you what the Republicans think. That's because the narrative, the progressive narrative, is a mess. So I haven't had a whole lot of luck with this, but I've been going around to progressive group after progressive group trying to say, look, it's simple. It's like a toxic waste dump. Make the person who created the financial pollution, make them pay to clean it up. That's where the money is. Can put America back to work. By the way, for example, how does that work? A small financial transaction tax, a Robin Hood tax on Wall Street, that's enough money so that every single kid in this country could go to a higher education at a public school, a public university or college for free. No more loans would be necessary to pay for tuition. That's how you could frame it. That's the kind of thing they should pay for to put America back to work. It's not that complicated, but you need to have the courage to go after them. And because they're big donors and because they're smart people and because they're on top and people, the Democratic Party people kowtow to them, they're afraid to go after them. And that's going to be our downfall.
Well, Leslie, Paul, just to go back to trying to do a sort of after-action report here on what happened in mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Now, one of the things I understand is that Labor didn't get this preferred candidate, that the candidate they had, Mayor Tom Barrett, had already been defeated by Walker, and he didn't even mention in his campaign, he barely referred to the attack on public sector unions. So he certainly wasn't I don't know who the candidate that the unions wanted, but apparently they didn't get their guy or girl or whatever. Do you know who their preferred candidate was?
You know what? I'm not that familiar with the details, but I tend to think it would have made a difference, a marginal difference, but I don't know that it would have made a 7-point difference.
Right. But what's
I think Wisconsin people were kind of tired of the action.
And the longer it went on, they clearly got more tired of it. And apparently the commercials that basically argued that this was undemocratic, they didn't work here in favor of Gray Davis in California. And Schwarzenegger was able to win, but apparently it had some traction there, that people felt that it was just wrong in terms of the democratic process to recall somebody unless they committed a crime. Not that this guy may have committed a crime, by the way, but we'll find out. So let me ask you though about the other. There's no question that corporations and their allies are being successful in terms of demonizing unions. Unions are on the decline. Corporations have never been richer and they have never had fatter coffers than any other time in history. You've got people like Sarah Palin talking about union thugs. You've got this full-page ad in today's New York Times with a picture of Richard Trumka looking like Mussolini and saying, why is this guy angry, and urging union members to get rid of these corrupt union bosses who pay for elections that the rank and file lose, etc. So you get the feeling that the anti-union movement's on a roll here.
Well, I think it is. There's been a long-term decline of trade unions, and the more beleaguered they get, the more difficult it is for them to speak for the population as a whole. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do is to get unions to link up with environmental organizations and kind of get out of their bubble and start seeing that what we need is a full employment green economy, and that we can't just be hunkering down and trying to protect this job that's environmentally destructive and that job that's environmentally destructive. We're going to have to move forward. It's going to take it's very sad because working people are going to lose, not just union unionized people, but non-union people as well, are going to lose a lot of clout. They're going to, there's going to be a lot of people who are see their working conditions deteriorate, who are going to see themselves abused by management, because without a threat of a union movement or without a union movement around, management has all the power, and it's going to be very, very difficult on everybody. You know, we hope that there'll come a time when a more a new version of unionism can be put on top of the one that exists right now. A new generation may come in, you know, through these worker centers that are growing up all over the country, and the younger members in unions, and maybe a message can be put together that speaks for Americans as a whole. But we're all going to suffer as the trade union movement continues its decline, and it's and the attacks are going to, I mean, obviously after Wisconsin, the attacks are, it's going to be a major bone of contention in virtually every election. It's happening in state after state. It's sad. It's not good for the country. It's not good for working people. It's a disaster for the 99%. What's going to happen is the corporations and Wall Street are going to make us pay for the damage they created. They're going to talk about shared sacrifice, but they're not going to sacrifice. They're going to make us pay in terms of cuts in Social Security, cuts in Medicare, cuts in Medicaid, cuts in all kinds of social spending. They're going to, you know, deregulation, so there'll be more environmental damage, you know, more environmental disease. We're going to pay for all of that while a second country emerges of the 1% or the fraction of 1%. They live in their own world, in their own bubble, you know, in their gated communities, in their own schools, with, you know, enormous sums of money. That's why this next book I'm working on, called How to Make $1 Million an Hour, is only half in jest. These guys make $1 million an hour. Think about that for a second. Making 1 hour what the average family makes in 47 years. How can we let that go on? We have to, the outrage against that fraction of the top 1% has got to emerge. And that's, I want the trade union movement to be a big part of that. But we all have to be a part of that.
Again, Leslie Appel, co-founder and directs the Labor Institute and the Public Health Institute. And he also serves as a strategic consultant to the Blue-Green Alliance, which brings together trade unions and the environmental organizations. So it does seem that following this victory in Wisconsin, the Koch brothers, who were the basically largely responsible for Walker's election in 2010 in the first place, and they've been critically important to his career, they must be feeling good. Walker's feeling good. The Republican Party's feeling good. Mitt Romney's raising more money than ever. They're just getting started. I mean, this is what I just shake my head in dismay. The Republicans are really got their act together. They got a tight narrative, and they're on a roll. And the Democrats are just stunned and incoherent, and it doesn't make any sense, because all of the arguments out there in the real world should be on their sides, that the country, the middle class, is being decimated. The 1% and the worst of the 1% are stealing the country blind. They've already captured our economy and captured our politics, and we're, you know, becoming a plantation economy at warp speed. Hello?
Yes, and guess what? If you read the speeches that Franklin Roosevelt gave in the mid-1930s, like at his second election, it sounds just like you. I mean, he really goes after the money changers in the temple. He attacks the super rich with abandon. He doesn't hold back. But you listen to the Democrats, and they're walking on eggshells. And, you know, the American people understand that. The Democrats have ceased becoming, they're no longer identified as the party of jobs. The fact that they're 20-something million people unemployed and underemployed right now, and that there's not a Democratic Party outrage over that, that they're not calling for mass demonstrations, that they're not pushing to make this a number one issue. That's why there's no identity anymore to the Democratic Party. It looks like, you know, they're just like Republican lights. And that's what is going to destroy the party in November unless they get their act together. There's got to be some outrage, some anger at what caused the problem and why we need to get Wall Street and the super rich to pay for the damage that they created. If they don't have a narrative like that, as you said, it's a muddle, it's a mess, and we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. The consequences of this, we're going to see, the austerity that they're fighting against in Europe, we're going to see it in the United States. You know what? We're going to see it if there's a Democrat or a Republican in, because people, they've already accepted the idea that we have to cut back, even though that's going to make the situation worse and worse and worse.
Well, Leslie,
I suggest, Ian, that you quickly run for office because you have a narrative.
Well, thank you for the endorsement, and thank you for joining us here today, Les Leopold.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Les Leopold, co-founded and directs two nonprofit educational organizations, the Labor Institute and the Public Health Institute. He designs research and educational programs on occupational safety and health, the environment, and economics. He also serves as a strategic consultant to the Blue Green Alliance, which brings together trade unions and environmental organizations. And he's the author of The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the impact of the Citizens United decision on the Wisconsin vote.
Some people say we've all